So, ladies and gentlemen, turn on the lights. Run the toaster without any bread in it. Dry those clothes again and again. Turn on the dehumidifier. Run the air conditioner at night and when it's cold. Because according to the local dog trainer here in Southern California, quote, California may be facing a persistent escalating glut of electricity as a result of its buying too much power through long-term contracts. That's right. Thinking long-term, you know, it's supposed to be a good thing. You're always told, oh, that's short-term thinking. You want a long... Well, California thought long-term, and we may be facing a persistent escalate. I know what you've heard. This is in the dog... Look, this is... Your dog is going to be crapping on this. It's got to be true. California may be facing a persistent escalating glut of electricity. Not crapping. You know what I mean. The surplus projected to peak in 2004 could pose a costly burden to ratepayers unless electricity demand rises substantially. Because, you see, the state would have to sell the surplus electricity at a hefty discount to what the state paid for it unless we... the citizens of California, hitch up our belts, roll up our sleeves, and make the sacrifices necessary to use more electricity. Invite Ed Begley over. Get him out of that house where the solar energy is running. Get him over to your house. Get him into that pool. Make sure, you know, you cook them up a few waffles. Microwave them something. Isn't that amazing? State officials defend those power purchases. David Freeman, who will be formally named to chair a new state power agency, argues that purchasing a healthy surplus busted the price spike of earlier this year. So the reason that we didn't have any blackouts is that we overpaid for too much electricity. So that was a good thing. California, of course, entered the power business back in January when things looked rough. Nevertheless, Governor Gray Davis will face uncomfortable policy choices if the state is guessed wrong and purchased too much power without escape clauses in the contract, as nearly every source that the dog trainer talked to believes. One fix would be to encourage consumption to eat up the surplus. Lights up, everybody. Hey, welcome to the all-electric version of Hello, Welcome to the Show.
It was a hot afternoon. I caught a train up to town. I walked from Charing Cross to Soho in just under half an hour into an internet cafe. I went and had some tea. I'm nervous, though for me this is new. Presenting an hour-long special, I'm ready for radio too. Hey, we're in the same business, I have some mutual acquaintances. I felt like I should know enough to put him through his paces. But to be a wizard breeze, for me to shoot the breeze with Randy Newman. Let's get up. Just relax and have a good time. But there are some key things we want to know. That's fine, I said, I've done my homework. I bought the CDs and some notes. But I'd rather not read from written questions. So let's just see how it goes. We've got an hour, so let's not worry. We'll get something to go in. He looked a little bit nervous. I said that it would be great. We're taping here in London and Randy's at home in LA. Cut to 2 hours later, and it's 1 minute to five. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm glad this isn't going out live.
Took a trip on a train and I thought about you. I passed a shadowy lane and I thought about you. Two or three cars parked under the stars, a winding stream, moon shining down on some little town. With each beam, the same old dream. And every stop that we made, oh, I thought about you. And when I pulled down the shade, then I really felt blue. I peeked through the crack, looked at the track, the one going back to you. And what did I do? I thought about you. There were two or three cars parked under the stars, winding stream, moon shining down on some little town. And with each beam, the same old dream. And then I peeked through the crack, and I looked at that track, one going back to you. And what did I do? I thought about you.
Oh, am I thinking about you? Because you are the you in public. You're the public in public radio. Hello, welcome to the show from the edge of America, from the home of the homeless. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this. You know it's a very special edition because it's on the air. But we're going to be announcing a new way to be able to access the show so shortly that my blood is thinning just at the prospect. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not reading the trades yet, but this is from a trade magazine, so it's sort of a flash forward, don't you know, from Broadcasting and Cable magazine. The World Wildlife Fund, this is their writing, put a sleeper hold on the World Wrestling Federation in court, winning a trademark battle over the use of the initials WWF. This is what the panda is cooking up for you. Can you smell what the panda is cooking for you? The judgment forces the wrestling organization to abandon the initials in advertising, its logo, and on its website. You know, it's not as if Vince McMahon hasn't had a bad year already, what with the utter, total, unquestionable failure of the XFL. Now this. Now he can't use the initials of his own organization in advertising or on its own website. That's a bad year. The judge acknowledged the changes could cost up to $50 million. Judge Robin Jacob ruled that Vince McMahon's wrestling organization had violated a 1994 agreement between the two groups that permitted the wrestling group limited use of the initials. What? Carved into the Rock's back? What would be the WWF? Which WWF? Hello? There's two of them. The WWF said in a statement that it anticipated the ruling. I guess these are the wrestlers. But plans to appeal. Yeah, they're very appealing. The Animal Protection Group contended that the wrestling organization's widespread use of the initials on TV and the internet were damaging its reputation. Making people think that the panda had no taste. Speaking of wild animals, the use of some object-oriented digital code has caused tactical headaches for Australia's armed forces. Virtual reality simulators assume larger roles in helicopter combat training, and programmers have gone to great lengths to increase the realism of their scenarios, including detailed landscapes and herds of kangaroos, since disturbed animals might well give away a helicopter's position. Developers were instructed to model the local marsupials' movements and reactions to helicopters. Being efficient programmers, they reappropriated some code originally used to model infantry detachment reactions under the same stimuli. And then they changed the icon from a soldier to a kangaroo and increased the figure's speed of movement. Eager to demonstrate their flying skills for some visiting American pilots, the hotshot Aussies buzzed the virtual kangaroos in low flight during a simulation. The kangaroos scattered as predicted, and the visiting Americans nodded appreciatively, until the kangaroos reappeared from behind a hill and launched a barrage of Stinger missiles at the hapless helicopter. The programmers had forgotten to remove that part of the infantry coding of the virtual reality kangaroos. Simulator supervisors report that pilots from that point onward have strictly avoided kangaroos. You know, they're tough, those ruse. Ladies and gentlemen, and it's Shark Week. And aren't you amazed, aren't you thrilled and delighted and amazed at the alacrity with which our elected officials have been able to pretend that they know what embryonic stem cells are? I mean, 2.5 weeks ago, the people on television now waxing eloquent about blastocysts, you know, would not have been able to construct a coherent. And I'm talking about on both sides. It's just out of the blue, people have come up with. Because the one thing that the media machine demands is opinions. You know, if they call you up and say, "All right, we want to put you on crossfire. What's your position on embryonic stem cell research?" Well, you know, I don't know, really. That's a tough one. Thanks. Bye. The job, ladies and gentlemen, increasingly, we know that the job is to be famous. But once you're famous, the job is to have an opinion. It doesn't have to be the right opinion. It doesn't have to be a good opinion. It certainly doesn't have to be an informed opinion. But it does have to be an opinion.
Listen to my bluebird laugh. She can't tell you why. Deep within her heart, you see, she knows all I cry. Just crying. Yeah. There she sits, a lofty perch. Strangest color blue, lying is forgotten now. Things only of you, just you. Oh. So get all those blues, must be a thousand years, and they just differently used. You just know, you sit there mesmerized. She got soul, she got soul, she got soul, she got soul.
sadness is her own. And there's a bath of tears. And go home, and go home.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, yes, indeed. Through no magic at all, it is time for me to read the trades for you. There's no magic involved in this. Just so absolutely banal and mundane what I do here. And yet, it sounds so banal and mundane on the air. How does that happen? I'll read it for you. From Processed Foods magazine. Prepared Foods. How are they prepared? They're told it's a very important group of people from out of town. Prepared Foods magazine. New products. I'll read it for you. Drinking. Could this be the next big thing? Buzz Pots from Tubular Drinks. Are single-shot vodka jelly cocktails in lemon and lime, or black currant varieties, containing 15% alcohol by volume, packaged in mini pots with a resealable lid. They're accompanied by a small plastic sword, which can be used to loosen the jelly before drinking. Yeah, I left that space there for you to think about what else you could do with it. A different kind of energy drink. Most energy drinks are sparkling, ostensibly fruit-flavored, and contain ginseng, ginkgo, guarana, and taurine. Thank you. This one, a Nestle product from Malaysia called Milo, is a milk-based beverage promoted as an energy drink. Previously, it had only been available in a dry mix format. He retails in an 8-fluid-ounce can in ethnic supermarkets. For those on high-protein diets or those looking for more soy in their diets, Crumb Creek Mills has a soy protein pasta in two varieties, penne and spaghetti. The company says these products contain 70% more protein than regular pastas and 20% less carbohydrates. This product has a double whammy of food trends these days, the power of protein and the allure of soy. As more consumers embrace high-protein diets, either to lose weight or to feel more energetic, protein from every source imaginable appears on store shelves. I don't think so. I don't think we've seen cockroach powder yet. Whether this diet craze will prove to be a fad or have staying power is yet to be seen. With soy, the jury is definitely in regarding the benefits of soy, not only related to heart disease and women's health issues, but also as a high-quality protein source, so says Prepared Foods magazine, totally ignoring the genetically modified soy issue for your listening pleasure. Cognac for breakfast? Gone are the days of plain old orange marmalade to spread on toast in the morning. Today, jams, jellies, conserves, and the like all have very upscale versions that can go on bread or bagels, but these also are designed for many other uses. Sold in gourmet stores, the newest line comes from Mark and Stevens, Los Angeles. The five varieties of marmalades and jams include cognac marmalade. Cognac marmalade, ladies and gentlemen. Who cares about the soy pasta when you can have cognac marmalade? And yet another boomer product. At first look, these extra-strong peppermints from Ragold, Chicago, don't seem quite to make a whole lot of sense. They feature Peanuts characters on them, which definitely have a kid appeal. However, they're the classic super-strong mints, which do not appeal to kids. Looking more closely at the tins, it becomes clear just what the marketing angle is. The tins do not just show pictures of Snoopy or Charlie Brown. They show the two through the decades, showing them in different situations, how their looks have changed through the years. The marketing angle? Nostalgic baby boomers. And finally, from Broadcasting and Cable Magazine, the Broadcast Technology Division, on the digital television front, with 201 stations on the air with digital, according to the National Association of Broadcasters, a lot of power and money is being expended to reach a tiny fraction of the viewing population. Decision Mark, which follows stations in their transition to digital TV, shows 67% of the stations operating at full power. Typically with 21 kilowatt transmitters, they're gobbling up electricity at an average rate of $11 per kilowatt hour. So while only 25,000 digital sets can receive a digital signal, the typical full-powered digital station is spending nearly $100,000 per year for electricity to reach them. Something to think about. A little head-scratcher when I read the trades for you. Copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
Ouvindo os velhos
This is Le Show, and, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's tough to be a cabinet member in the modern age, because there are so many questions and so many answers that you have to master. Take just, a random example. I'm glad you asked. Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson. Now, in the run-up to George W. Bush's announcement about his solution to the quandary of what to do about federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, about which I think we're all so much more knowledgeable now. Tommy Thompson went on several talk shows to kind of preview the president's reaction and his policy, but he also encountered some other questions about other policy matters and delivered himself of at least this memorable quote, which, oddly enough, none of the major media picked up, except this one.
What's your view of that matter?
I think that's absolutely incorrect. Centers for Disease Control does a wonderful job for America. You know, they're doing an excellent job of protecting our health.
But what about that particular program, Secretary?
I think the condom thing is blown way out of proportion.
Miss Virginia couldn't have said it better.
Went out on a chilly night. He prayed for the moon to give him light. For in many a mile to go that night before he reached a town. In many a mile to go that night before he reached a town. He ran till he came to the farmer's pen. The ducks and the geese were kept therein. He said, a couple of you are gonna grease my chin before I leave this town. A couple of you are gonna grease my chin before I leave this town. By the neck, he threw a duck across his back, and he didn't mind the quack, quack, and the legs all dangling down, he didn't mind the quack, quack, and the legs all dangling down, Well, the old gray woman jumped out of bed, out of the window she popped her head, crying, John, John, the great goose is gone, the fox is on the town, John, John, the great goose is gone, and the fox is on the town, Till he came to his nice warm den, and there were the little ones, 8, 9, 10, saying, Daddy, Daddy, better go back again. It must be a mighty fine town, Daddy, Daddy, go back again, for it must be a mighty fine town, The fox and his wife, without any strife, they cut up the goose with a fork and a knife, and they never had such a supper in their life, and the little ones chewed on the bones, they never had such a supper in their life, and the little ones chewed on the bones.
From CPR, Continental Public Radio, this is At Loggerheads. Diametrically opposite views on an issue in the news. Today, did President Bush make the right decision on embryonic stem cell research? On the right, Yakov Smirnov. On the left, Joan Rivers.
Yakov, this decision wasn't a no-brainer. It was made by a no-brainer. George W. Bush tried to play King Solomon, cut the baby in half. Unfortunately, when the baby's only 8 cells in diameter, it's tougher to do accurate portion control than spending a week on Dr. Atkins. I mean, please, he makes this big deal out of spending his time thinking about this. First of all, maybe next time, let's get someone who doesn't see thinking as the hardest work he's ever done. Then let's be real. If this wasn't a political decision to look compassionate but please the conservatives, then my daughter Melissa doesn't have the cutest nose job north of Sunset. These little cells, Yakov, think how tiny they are. They're smaller than a network executive's testicles. Believe me, these little cells might lead to a cure for Alzheimer's, for God's sake. Or Parkinson's. Or even let Chris Reeve get back on a horse someday. There's nothing more pro-life than that. Unless it's something in my size at Lohmann's. No, the president said there were 60 cell lines already available. I mean, come on. My eyes have more lines than that. And now we hear maybe there aren't that many. I mean, please, we're not arguing about angels on the head of a pin here. We're not smart enough for that. And I do not want George W. Bush looking over our scientists' shoulders. I mean, after all, he thinks a Petri dish is Italian food. Yakov.
Joan, get off of it. Until last week, you probably thought stem cells were part of the broccoli you don't eat. I can't believe we're talking about using human life as some kind of raw material here in the United States. This is the way they think in Russia. In Russia, stem cell research funds you. President Bush faced tough decision depending on which side he disappointed. He's either dumb or evil. Sounds like my first wife. Maybe it doesn't bother you, Joan, to think of clones being raised to provide spare parts for us. But that's where all this is going, except in Russia, where clones raise you. Just think of it, Joan. Maybe you're getting enough work now, but I don't relish the idea of competing for gigs with Bob Hope's clone. These little cells are human life. There's more humanity in one of those test tubes than at most Hollywood parties. In Russia, cell culture is only culture government doesn't control. And since when do we begin to trust scientists so much? These are people who gave us atom bomb, pollution, John Tesh videos. Great thing about this country is you can make money here, but bad thing is so can the scientists. I don't know about you, Joan, but if somebody's selling my cells, I want at least 10%. In Russia, agent pays you. What a country. From the right, I'm Yakov Smirnoff.
And from the left, I'm Joan Rivers. And we both know it's great to be...
at Loggerheads.
And Loggerheads is produced this week with aid from the Show Business Foundation. Next time, two more partisans mix it up in the salad bowl of binary contention. At Loggerheads. This is CPR, Continental Public Radio.
Zabavula nando, huri ya binikita, hira hira.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cher. Well, it's just that. Just that sentence. But no, there's more. Cher has quietly put her Malibu home on the market at $25 million. How do you quietly put anything on the market? Shh, at 25. Don't tell anyone it's for sale for $25 million. The actress-singer bought the land 7 or 8 years ago and just finished building the house. Isn't that the way? Where she's been living while completing the work. That's fun. That's always fun. I can tell you that from personal. Not even a fraction of that, but just living where the work is going on. Getting to enjoy the camaraderie of the construction crew. It took 70 workmen 2 years to build the house, but I could see her touch, the artist's touch, said one of a few real estate licensees invited to tour the house. That's part of the quietness, having a few real estate licensees tour the place. Every tile was put in right, and the grout was perfect. Well, you know, if you're a Cher, ladies and gentlemen, would you have less than perfect grout? Come on now. Cher is said to have handpicked all the tile in the house, and she oversaw the installation of such special features as a hammered copper ceiling in the dining room. She used the highest quality fixtures, and it shows, said a viewer. There's another viewer. That's how quiet she was. Two viewers talked to the paper already. The house has 7 bedrooms, a wig room. Ladies and gentlemen, it's what you get for your $25 million. A wig room and a media room in just under 14,000 square feet. She handpicked the wigs, too. Local codes now limit house size to slightly more than 11,000 square feet, so it can never be built again. The master suite has 2 big walk-in closets. Cher's house, which has unobstructed coastline views, is on 2.5 acres with a guest house, an infinity pool that appears to spill into the ocean, and maybe does, and a tennis court under which there's parking for 6 cars. Observers, now here's some more people who've seen the house because she's quietly put it on the market. Observers describe the house style as a cross between a villa and a monastery. A monastery with a wig room. One said it looks like a medieval castle made of stone and iron, but with many windows. I was prepared not to like the house because I thought it would be dark, he said, but I love the light that's in there. Access to the house is from Pacific Coast Highway, but there's little or no street noise because the house was so well built, he added. Cher reportedly wants to downsize. You live on the property while you're building this house larger than can be built in Malibu now. And then when you're done, you want to downsize. Or move on to another project. Okay. I'll get off her back then. She sold her former Malibu home in 1999 for about $3.75 million. This is Malibu property today. The Malibu house of the late Mark Hughes. Remember him? Herbalife, mysterious passing, has been sold for slightly more than $30 million. Ooh, 18,000 square feet on 7.5 acres, plus an adjacent 2.5 acres where Mark Hughes had planned to build a guest house with a gym. House was listed at $31 million. The estate took $1 million loss on this. Is that the most expensive house in Malibu? I don't know. Yes, the sale is the highest in Malibu. The buyer, an L.A. investor, plans extensive remodeling. A $30 million fixer-upper, ladies and gentlemen. Who says the economy is doing badly? Kobe Bryant is not buying the house in Orange County, citing business issues, privacy concerns, and a long ride every day to the Laker training facility. And the latest Laker, 6'9" power forward Samaki Walker has leased a furnished oceanfront condo in the home of the homeless, a gated Santa Monica community, for about $4,000 a month. The 2-bedroom, 1,500-square-foot unit has a whitewater ocean view. It means there's some waves sometimes, is what that means. Whitewater ocean view. They're waves. It's the ocean. And amenities such as a pool and a spa. Walker was inspired to lease by some things he saw as soon as he entered the condo. A framed sketch of a book with the title Zen and some end tables made from drums. He construed these sightings as good omens since Laker coach Phil Jackson describes himself as a Zen Christian. And he beats a drum while chanting on game days. But they're champs, ladies and gentlemen. They are champs. And scientists have found strong evidence that genetically modified crops can spread long distances from where they've been planted and spawn superweeds. Yes, it's the Sunday London Times scaring the bejabbers out of us. The researchers found that genetically modified rapeseed, from which canola oil is made, ladies and gentlemen, can blow into neighboring farms, and the different genetically modified strains can interbreed, producing superweeds that are resistant to a wide range of herbicides. The research was carried out in Canada, so it's okay, and will raise more doubts about the trials being conducted in the British countryside. Monsanto denies that its plants could promote superweeds. It said because glycophosphate, who knows? I'm up to here, see, with knowledge, with my learning about stem cell research. I have no room for this. But organic farmers among those at greatest risk. If genetically modified plants are found in their crops, they can no longer claim organic status and may lose their livelihoods, said a farmer from Crandall, Manitoba. The infestation was pretty incredible this year. They towered 2 feet over my wheat crop. And they'll be on NBC this fall, the Superweeds.
Mary Kay, she's got it bad. Thinks no one understands. You can't keep a good man down. You can't stop when love's around. You can't close your lonely eyes. Though he's way too young to drive, but he's old enough to please you. Love me nuts and daisies, Mary Kay. Spin the bottle crazy, Mary Kay. Little John Doe's got it bad. When he first walked in a class, he never had a crush like this, except for Susie's mother. She was a star, as she was steaming up the car. Now in your orange jailbird suit, I wish the best for you. You were in my heart and living room. 7 years and counting, Mary Kay. And all the inmates want Mary Kay. Second base and better, Mary Kay. Where's the soft blue sweater, Mary Kay? Love me nuts and daisies, spin the bottle crazy. Love can be
so, ladies and gentlemen, it took 7 years and $65 million. The independent counsel investigation of Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton is over. Independent counsel Robert Ray, yes, notified the Justice Department the end of the week that the investigation is over, although he may stay on until May, to tie up loose ends. Investigation has been terminated, he said. Does that mean the office shuts down, the lights turn out? No. Well, of course not. It's the federal government. Also, of course, Bill Clinton announced his big book deal, $10 million advance, bigger than Hillary's, bigger than the Pope's. And he's ensconced in his new office in Harlem, scarfing up more media attention, as usual. Yes, it's another edition of Clinton Something, next here on Le Show.
Clinton Something, the Harlem Years.
So, Carville, welcome to Harlem.
Man, that was such a slick move locating up here. But, you know, once the crowds and Al Sharpton go away, ain't you a little bit, needful of another Secret Service man or two?
James, you have no idea what an ex-president moving in can do for a neighborhood. You know that place next door that looks a little bit like a crack house?
Yeah, it's that kind of seems like the place where gators go to sharpen their teeth.
Mm-hmm. They just signed the lease to turn it into the first Old Navy store north of 92nd Street. How about that? And you know, Elvis did foresee this.
He did.
Remember, in the ghetto?
I think I do. Tony Joe White may have covered it. Anyway, Mr. President, it's been way too long.
Well, I know you've been, consulting our what election now?
Well, things going a little slow, really. I'm just due to a friend of favor, and, you know, he got a kid at a big deal private school out in California. Uh-huh. I'm running the kid's campaign for student body president.
Man, they really have screwed up this economy.
Oh, you know, just until that Bush outfit starts paying Mary back wages over there. Man, that place has become stiff central. You know, they've returned honor to the White House, all right.
Yeah.
They're on an honor system with everybody who works for them.
Well, I'd say I know how you feel, but...
Oh, I know, man. I heard about that book deal. Man, $10 million. Uh-huh. It sure can pay off a boatload of lawyers' bills.
Yeah. Of course, you know how these deals are structured. Mm. There's about half of the money that only gets paid if Mark Wahlberg stars in the movie version of the book.
Yeah. Who's Mark Wahlberg?
Ask your candidate. But, James, this is going to be interesting. You know, for the first time, really, since we made The Man from Hope, I'm going to get my own story out there my own way.
Yeah, and this time with a lot less of Harry Thomas and soppy piano music behind it.
Yeah. No journalists, no spin.
Yeah.
Just like a primetime address to the nation that goes on all night long.
I thought you gave that speech at the 88 convention.
Hey, man, you seen the offices? They tricked them up pretty damn fine. Look at this. The first marble computer desk in Harlem.
Wow. Mm. So about the book. Damn.
Forget to turn it off?
Nah, the kid's dad wants to talk to me today about... You know...
I'm sorry, James. Committee hearing took longer than I thought.
Hey, Mrs. Not a good time.
You gotta take that call, James, because I'll just hang out by the window here and watch him put the finishing touches on the pottery barn.
Okay, sir. So, Hillary, what's up?
You called me, and I'm due at a caucus in 15 minutes.
Okay, well...
And I know you're there with Bill, and you can tell him for me that I'm delighted that he got a $10 million book advance, but unless he gives a detailed description of Monica's tongue stud, I'm still going to sell more copies.
She's got a tongue stud? Ow! That's got to hurt worse than a scrotum waxing. Anyway, Mrs., guilty as charged, just wanted to come up and, see how my half lives.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just thought, you know, as you kind of shift into a writing mode, if there's anything you want to bounce off of me, to refresh your memory, like the lawyers used to say.
James, I appreciate your offer. And, you know, I appreciate what you did during my campaign for the Senate last year.
I didn't work on that campaign.
And I appreciate it.
Okay, Mrs.
But obviously, as my writing process goes into motion, mm-hmm. if there is anything that does need to be bounced off any staff member, I'm sure that that one of my people will do it. They're very good.
Mm-hmm. I just mean, you know, because a lot of stories kind of gestated down at your end of the building. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes a good rumor can be more persistent than prickly heat in Bayou LaForge.
James, that's my other cell phone. I got to go. Let's talk soon.
Man, that's got to be one big pottery barn.
No shuck.
Well, man, that whole week we're like picking up the hind end of a 7-10 split. You know, your book advance aced out both Hillary and the Pope, and the announcement knocked Al's comeback right out of the main news section.
Yeah, Mr. Gore is going to have to grow a bigger beard than that to grab tube time from the kid.
Yeah. You got an idea what you're going to call the book?
Bob Gottlieb, my editor, wanted something like unvarnished, you know, to suggest that I'm telling the naked truth without actually, pandering by using the N-word.
Yeah.
I'm leaning more toward all shook up.
Suspicious minds might work. Mm. Anyway, so I just wanted you to know that, if you need to bounce anything off of me, verify dates or quotes or anything like that.
James, you're not talking to George W. Bush here.
Yeah.
You know, I actually paid attention. I know what went down. But don't worry, Carville. I won't be too hard on you.
I didn't mean that exactly.
Believe me, man. Yeah. I got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. It's not a bad title, neither. Well, okay, so I got to get back out to the coast. We got some commercials breaking on local cable. But as long as I'm walking by, that rib joint's still good?
It was, but they sold it. It's going to be a sunglass hut.
Youthful angst and middle-aged powerlessness. Together, they add up to Clinton something. The Harlem Years.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, did George W. Bush agonize over his stem cell research decision or not? Karen Hughes says no. Chief of Staff Andrew Card says yes. I guess all we can do now is vote. Oh, we did that already. Well, then all we can do is come back next week and do another edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world, through the Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet at 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer whenever you want it. Two locations, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like having an affiliate with the call letters WWF to confuse things further if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. No attachments. You know that better than I do, don't you? Or do I? The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of end tables made from drums and the homeless.